Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Podcast starts now. Wow. Hello, everyone around the globe. You are listening to Stradiolab, the only podcast that is also a corporation. How the hell is it going, George?
You really got me with that corporation joke. I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, well, we surprise ourselves sometimes.
You know, after all these years, we can still surprise each other. And that's what makes a productive creative partnership. You know what I was thinking of doing is addressing something that is going to be addressed further in the Patreon, but sort of teasing it in our intro. How does that make you feel?
I guess that makes me feel okay. I guess, you know, when I said we're the only podcast that's a corporation, I was mostly trying to make it I was kidding.
Yeah.
And so sometimes, you know, teasing Patreon content feels a little bit real. Like then we really do think of ourselves as a corporation.
Yeah, but here's the thing. We really need to think of ourselves as a corporation because let me tell you something. Sales are dwindling and we are not reaching the metrics that we need for Q1. What Q are we in?
I think we're actually about to go into... Are we still in one? Our producers are telling us we're in Q1.
Yeah, we're in Q1. I never can tell. This is how you know I'm not a good businessman because literally in my mind, I was thinking... Are the quarters based on the school year or the calendar year? And I'm like, okay, wait, in what world would they be based on the school year? I was like, is Q1 September through November?
I mean, it should be based on the school year because school then leads to business. I also think that, like, one, in my mind, there's only two Qs. You have the winter and the spring. And then once it's summer, business is over. When the pools are open, the business is all shut down. You can't do any work. You shouldn't because you need to be resting your mind and your body in a pool. And then by the time it's fall, then you have to get getting ready for the holidays. No matter what you celebrate, there's a lot of preparation that needs to start happening.
That's true. For me, the Qs are like holiday season, summer, and then normal.
Yeah.
And you can sort of extend them enough where you're like, oh, it's September. And you're like, well, it's almost the holiday season. And then it can be like April. And you're like, well, it's almost the summer. So if you sort of do it in a really strategic way, you only have to work approximately like 6 weeks during the year.
Honey, that's a little high for me. Because even when it's a winter, it's like, well, I need a winter outing.
Right. Well, you're hibernating.
Like, naturally, I'm hibernating. And then in the summer, I have to express myself recreationally.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so you're either hibernating, expressing yourself recreationally, celebrating a Christian holiday.
Yeah.
Or...
And then, like, maybe March, I can, like, put in some good work.
No, because March is when the weather is slowly getting better, so you're sort of, like, excited about what's to come.
That's true.
I kind of think... Well, it's tough because I sort of think we're going back to the school year where September is the only month you can really work.
September is the only month you can really work. I'll take it.
You know what, though? September, sometimes the weather is still good.
Especially with global warming and what with everything going on.
Exactly,
with that.
With everything going on with that politically and
socially.
And socially, yeah. Of course. And spiritually, not to even mention. But the other thing is that sometimes September is the best time to go on vacation because it's not peak tourist season. You know, everyone is always going on vacation June through August. And I'm like, well, it's so much better to go to an Italian villa in September when you can go to the downtown village area and not be hounded by tourists being like, oh, where can I get a t-shirt that says Mamma Mia?
Totally. You're so right. And our capitalist society is so toxic. There have been times when, yeah, I've been on vacation in September and people are like, okay, well, now that Labor Day is over, it's time to hit the ground running on blank, blank, and blank. And I'm like, no, I actually just started my vacation a week ago.
Exactly.
Because I was expressing myself recreationally in the summer and now I'm getting the deals on the trips in September. And what with global warming, that's normal and okay.
And I also want to say that you are pointing to another reason why, to me, it seems a little inappropriate to work in September, because if Labor Day is in September, then that's a bit on the nose. It seems pretty obvious. You know what I mean? I mean, it's sort of like wearing a Santa. I know I've in the past come out as pro Santa hat, but it's sort of like wearing a Santa hat to the holiday party where you're like, all right, like maybe try doing one thing that's original. Maybe try doing one thing that was not featured in the film Love Actually, just for once in your life. Literally, like, think of one thing that maybe is your idea. That's how I respond to any email I get in September.
Yeah. So with all that being said, what did you want to talk about from the Patreon?
Okay, so I want to talk about how we have a Patreon and everyone should subscribe. It's really great extra content every month. We do two extra episodes a month. One is an earnestness check-in where we just chat about our lives. And the other one is an episode of our straight movie club where each month we watch a straight movie and discuss it. And this month, our straight movie is Top Gun Maverick.
Well, George, I hope you're happy.
I'm not. And I'm actually holding back tears. Because the fact that I used up my 90 seconds of work on that is something that I will be dealing with for the rest of the calendar year and school year.
I mean, also, I have to say, to like talk exclusively about like there's something so nasty and gross about being like, yeah, well, we don't like to work here, we don't like to work here, we don't like to work here, we don't like to work here. By the way, subscribe to our Patreon.
Well, obviously, Sam, that was the whole joke. I mean, I have been preparing for that for months. That was an entire pre-written bit. And by the way, when I first brought it up, what I wanted to do is to sort of bring up the topic of Top Gun Maverick, because I think it's like a fun topic, and I also think it's sort of fun that we're discussing it 9 months late.
Yeah, well, it's still really popular, so I think that's okay. And the Oscars are just around the corner. And need I remind you, it was actually nominated for an Oscar. So before you say it's trash and, you know,
I did not say
propaganda, just remember that, yeah, it was actually nominated for an Academy Award, not unlike films like Moonlight. Thank you.
Yeah, it's sort of the Moonlight of this year in that sense. Well, Lady Gaga does the theme song, so kind of.
She
did the theme song for Moonlight, right? She sang Bloody Mary at the end.
Oh, God.
And then the other, I just want to mention one more business related thing. You know, this is the first episode that we are attempting to record with video, which I am so conscious of and keep looking at my own face and your face. How do you feel about that?
I'm so glad you brought this up, because in our more honest, true selves, we would always bring up the fact that we were trying something new. And, you know, we could spend a whole episode talking about the Zoom windows or something.
Yes.
And I was afraid to bring it up because I almost didn't want to bring too much attention to it because it's actually stressing me out.
No, we actually need to return to our roots of talking about the podcast while we make the podcast. And sometimes I think that we have sold out in the sense that sometimes we will bring a guest in and treat them normally. And that is unacceptable, in my opinion.
I think you're 100%
right. And that is not alt, and that is mainstream, and that is literally NBC, like, Thursday night lineup in a way that I am humiliated by, and in a way where I'm like, oh, I guess I'm a Ross.
Yeah. No, we've completely lost our edge. So I guess, yeah, I want to say we're using a new system, and we're actually recording video, and we're going to see how that feels. And it does not help the fact that we have, like, these, like, webcams, which are very slay, and we look, like, so crisp. Like, in my room, like, looking around my room, it is dark, it is dreary. It's not enjoyable to be in. But when I see myself on screen, it's like bright. Like it's like I feel like I'm like a model. My hair is like kind of flowy really, in this way.
Exactly.
My eyes are stunning, and I'm seeing myself for the first time.
You have had to disconnect your landline because the calls from casting directors kept coming one after the other, to the point where actually your phone bill was, even though you weren't picking up the phone, the number of just the sound the phone was making was using up so much electricity that you were evicted from your apartment.
I was evicted from my apartment because of the electricity bill being so high because of all the calls. And so so needless to say, I just shut off the line.
Yeah.
And now I before I was always like, what's happening? Why is this happening? And now I'm seeing myself in the camera and I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense actually.
Yeah. And you've had to purchase your first cell phone because you're one of the last people that was using a landline for everything.
Yeah, when I shut down my landline, I decided to finally pull the trigger on that big cell phone purchase.
And so guess what? With all of this, you know who won in the end? Tim Cook. You try to be alt. You try to do a sort of like alternative take on podcasting. And at the end of the day, Tim Cook wins. And someone has bought another iPhone.
Oh, you know that thing where people will be like, you know, Bill Murray, like when he gets roles, like people just like call his landline and leave a message. Did you ever hear that?
No, but I'm pretending I did.
Well, people would always say that and be like, isn't that really cool? Like you just call him. And yeah. I'm like, no, it's not that cool. Like you think you're better than everyone? Just like go through your agent like everybody else. Like we know you're also, not like humble. Like right. We know you like are rich as fuck. Like don't pretend like you're just some guy.
And also not to be a bitch, but then like he gets that role, shows up to set. He's the most toxic person in all of Hollywood. So maybe check your weird biases where you think it's charming that Bill Murray like has a landline just so he can then show up and terrorize Lucy Liu on the set of Charlie's Angels Full Throttle.
Literally. Just like be normaler. Be weird. Be weird in your performance, sure.
Yeah.
But come on, just use a normal
Yeah, come
form.
On, just be Taika Waititi. Just kidding. Should we bring in our guests?
Yes, we have today two incredible comedians. Please welcome Bill Murray and Taika Waititi.
Woo!
Hi.
Hey, you guys.
Hi, Bill.
Thank
Hi,
you
Taika.
So much for having us on.
Hey, it's How's... Bill and Taika here.
Yeah. You guys are so cute.
Thank you. Thank you. You guys are really cute too.
Thank you.
You guys have such an unexpected friendship and unexpected new sort of like business partnership. It's a little like when Lady Gaga and Tony Bennett released that album together.
It's a little like that, yeah. Because we met doing a Christmas album.
Right. Oh, wow.
That's right.
Together.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
And we learned we're both straight men and we're not afraid of whimsy. And that really brought us together.
No, we're not.
Yeah.
No, we're not.
We don't mind being a little bit kooky with it. And how charming is that, by the way?
And I want to ask you guys something again. Knowing that I'm Bill Murray.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thanks for establishing that.
Sure.
Am I the guy from Osmosis Jones?
The thing is,
that makes sense.
Here's the thing, Bill. You are, but the fact that that's your go-to, the fact that that is your go-to, listing on your IMDb page, tells me that you are even more fucking whimsical than I thought.
And what else did I do?
Like Ghostbusters, Lost in Translation.
No, I didn't see that. No, I didn't see that.
Like most Wes Anderson movies?
Most Wes Anderson movies.
No, I don't go there. No.
Life Aquatic.
You guys, I think... Wait, I want to be Natalie.
Oh, okay. Should we kick out Taika and Bill?
From the hit podcast Exploration Live, Charlie Bardet and Natalie Rotter-Lightman.
Hey, you guys.
Yes!
Now we can be normal.
Thank you for having us on.
We can act like ourselves.
Yes. Wait, so what's the deal? Natalie, what's the deal with you not knowing anything about Bill Murray?
Bill Murray. Well, it's interesting because basically I grew up like I never saw any movies that were for boys. I had like a perfect childhood. Mm-hmm. And
So Lost in Translation was sort of Sofia Coppola's breakout.
Yeah, but you know she makes movies for boys.
You know what? Say that. Yeah, for gay ones. For gay ones that are choking on cock while watching The Virgin Suicides.
Say that.
I like that you guys are watching Top Gun.
Oh,
right.
So
Yeah. Thank you for bringing it back.
Thank you for bringing it back.
Because once again, we do want to encourage people to subscribe to our Patreon.
Totally.
Me too.
I had a question for you too. I want to know, like on a scale of 1 to 10, like how stressed out were you being brought in not as yourselves and actually as two characters that are real people in real life?
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't feeling stressed until Natalie claimed Bill Murray. And then once I was a little bit more comfortable in the like, we are both of us, or we're both Tyga and Bill, and like it can be kind of fluid like that. And then once I had to really land in the role of Tyga, I was like, this is a little hard. And there's, I don't want to get myself in trouble by being too mean.
Right. No, that Tyga would be like a terrible Snatch Game, because there's nothing, even though everyone knows who he is, and obviously he like is having a real moment.
Right.
With everything going on politically.
Right.
Like he doesn't have like a catchphrase.
He doesn't have a catchphrase.
Well, I'm having a hard time separating how I feel about him with how the world feels about him, which is that I find him annoying.
Right.
And so it's like, if I were to do an impression, I'd be like, oh, you know me, I'm like that annoying guy. And you guys would be like, well, that's not so specific.
And that would be a really spot on impression.
Right.
What does the world think of him?
I think the world
well,
kind of loves
him. Well, people love him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Love him.
Well, he's sort of like...
Okay.
How do I put this? Like, he's the perfect middle brow. Like, he's the perfect sort of like... He is elevated Marvel. But then he's also the people's Oscar movie. Like, Jojo Rabbit is like the comedy that is nominated for Oscars. And then his Marvel movies are like the quote-unquote more sophisticated Marvel movies. So it's like, I mean... It's a sort of Lin-Manuel Miranda type thing too, where it's like, to be right at the center. If you draw a
graph, you're so right.
Yeah, this is smart.
Cool. Yeah, this is smart.
Thank you. If you draw a graph that's like highbrow, lowbrow,
cool,
the people that are right at the middle are the ones who get the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Right. You're literally correct.
Steve Martin.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess Steve Martin in a sense could be that, but I also like to put Steve Martin, literally one of the most talented people who has ever lived, in the same group as Lin-Manuel and Tyga, I would struggle with that a little bit. No?
I didn't know you felt that way about Steve Martin.
I agree with George. I also think he's like very actively pretentious, even when he's not doing comedy.
Steve Martin?
Yeah.
He is.
But I think that's
not
what it is. It's like he is pretentious for a comedian, but down to earth for an actor, for like a smart actor.
Right.
It's that perfect balance.
I think he's a great like older guy.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no way around it.
And as an old man, he's crushing it. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. I think he's nailing that.
Yeah. Natalie, who are your top five older guys? Go.
Who are your guys?
Who are your top five older guys?
Okay. I love the guy from Succession, the old guy.
Oh, he's a great old guy.
Oh, Brian Cox, for sure.
And I love my grandpa's who died.
Oh,
and shoot. I love...
Sorry.
That's okay. Did I say the guy from Succession?
Yeah, that was the first one you said.
Oh, okay. Oh, you know what? I like those gay guys who are on TikTok.
Oh, so that's like seven guys now. That's great.
Can I actually take out the guy from Succession and my grandpa's? Because I think there's like five of them.
Yeah. So just the older gay guys on TikTok then?
Yeah, yeah. Like the five of them. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Wait, wow. Charlie, who are your old guys?
Oh my God, I was trying to think so hard. Like, who's like an old guy that like, and who's that old gay guy who died
Charlie,
recently?
Charlie, you like writers.
Yeah, but like which, what? Who's like a male writer?
Who is alive and old?
Hemingway.
He has
no,
to be alive.
Be
they can be dead?
I would say alive.
As long as they got old.
I'm like James Baldwin.
Okay. Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, cool. No, I think they'd have to be alive.
Yeah, you do have to be alive.
You can't be old if you're dead.
You're a dead
right.
man.
Okie dokie. Because when you die, you're eternally like 22, right?
Yeah, you go back to 22.
Just that you're not alive.
Sort 22 of. You're eternally 22 to 29.
Yeah.
22 to 29, yeah. You go back to the prime, like, marketing age bracket.
Yeah.
Right. But actually, whatever in some that cases, is. That is old.
18 to 35 year olds.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's right.
Oh.
You know,
I guess the oldest you can be is dead.
Right. Right.
Well.
So do I still
know.
Have to answer
I
the
consider
prompt?
It more of a freeze. Yeah, of course. Of course, honey.
No, I don't want to. There's that old gay guy, Leslie. My mom's neighbor is another old gay guy, and he always wears a fur coat, even in the summer, and he has claimed to be both a doctor and a lawyer and a chiropractor and a professional violinist.
Shut the fuck
up. And I think that's kind of a cool combo. So I'm going to say him.
Yeah. No, that's... We found the perfect old man.
Don't say claim, Charlie.
Yeah, he is. Sorry, he is a professional violinist. He's a chiropractor. He's a doctor. And he's a lawyer.
Wow.
He's very talented and he always wears a fur coat.
Well, some of those go together.
A violinist and doctor is like, yeah.
He works with his hands.
Of course you're going to be
and
one
he's
of those.
A liar.
Yeah. He works with his hands. He's a surgeon and he practices.
Right, that's all. They're all very left brain.
Okay, wow.
That's fine.
Well, I love him. What's his name?
It's not like that for us.
Okay.
Oh, well, yeah. It's private.
Yeah.
Let me say, I met these two gay guys at a show at the Bell House.
Congrats.
You know that guy, that gay guy? I don't know. Do you guys like talk shit on this podcast?
Yeah, we can talk
shit.
Sure,
we can.
Basically, just these two guys were there, and they after the show were so nice, and they were old, and they were like, "We loved your set," and I was talking to them, and they were like, "We live on Carrie Bradshaw Street in the West Village," and I was like, "I want to marry you guys, legit." Mm-hmm. They were so happy and sweet together. End of story.
I'm sorry. This is Utah's shit.
That's the talking shit.
No, I skipped over it because I realized it's not nice to hurt people.
Oh. Okay.
Put it in the Patreon.
Put it in the Patreon.
Yes.
That'll be a whole episode. Wait, I have a question. So you've both done this podcast separately.
Yeah.
I want to know, how does it feel to be back as a duo? Do you feel empowered? Do you feel like your light is dimmed by your co-host being here as well? Mm-hmm. I want to know, give me the deep psychological traumas.
Go ahead, Charlie.
I'm pretty excited to have Natalie on.
A buddy.
Because I think there are going to be moments where I'm like, you know what? I know that it's right for a guest to speak. And maybe like I don't need to right now personally. And so that's a good moment for example, Natalie to speak in this case.
I already felt grateful. Like when you guys were talking about some random shit before, like... I don't know what it was, like movies or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have anything to say. And I just sat back and Charlie had it.
Yeah.
So I feel good.
It is. There really is nothing better than being with your comedic partner and just sort of like zoning out and being like, oh, yeah, I'll take this one for sure.
Yeah.
Totally.
There's a lot of times where it's like, Natalie's got this and we're not going to overlap. And that always. And that's amazing, actually.
And vice versa. Course.
Yeah.
It sort of makes you think maybe there's should be a way, a sort of buddy system in normal life where you can just go around life with someone that is your buddy, and whenever you feel like you need to tap out, they can step in.
George, that's called marriage. That is called monogamous marriage.
Legit.
This is the thing that Natalie does though, a little bit. Natalie really taught me that in a conversation. Someone would like, I'll be in a conversation with Natalie where like somebody will ask Natalie about a story that I'll know, and she'll be like, Charlie, can you actually take this one? And I'm like, no problem. And I'll just recount it. Like, that option is available to you if you let it. You know what I mean? Wow. Or, like, someone be like, how are you, Charlie? And I'm like, I actually don't know if I can really answer that. Like, Natalie, can you take this one right now?
And then you can.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about, I was recently at a party with a friend, like a close friend, and there was a person we didn't really know that we were talking to, and that friend I was with like checked the fuck out, and like I was having to do like 100% of the like, so what neighborhood are you in, whatever. And it was like, you know, if you didn't know the friend, maybe you'd be like, oh, they're just chilling, listening. But like I was kind of like, all right, so you're done. So I got this, and it was like a heavy lift, and the person walked away and they were like, I'm sorry. And I was like, what the hell was that? Like, that is actually so crazy. And like, but you can't do it with a friend or a husband, ideally.
That is one of the sacred bonds of marriage.
Yeah. How do you feel about, I used to think it was a real sign of intimacy if, let's say Sam and I are meeting someone new. I say something like, you know, Sam always talks about how he blah, blah, blah. It's like I'm talking on behalf of Sam as a way to show A, how close we are, and B, like to bring something of his out that maybe he is not that he like didn't think of at the time. Do you feel like that is a sign of intimacy, or do you think that's weirdly vampiric and actually toxic?
I think it's a sign of intimacy, but it can be like this kind of performance.
Yes,
you guys know this
exactly.
Maria Bamford joke about it, about that thing of like talking to a couple and she's Maria
he doesn't
Bamford
like onions.
Couple. Yeah, exactly. Well, he doesn't like onions, like doing that kind of voice. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's like, any when you are in a relationship, it is like that. You're like, he falls asleep so quickly, and I'm always left there.
Yes.
And I, you know, what am I doing? I'm still awake. It's this whole little performance.
Yeah, I actually did that with Sam recently, and I sort of overstepped where I was like, do you remember, Sam, we were recording with someone, and I said something like, well, Sam fetishizes when people smell bad. And Sam was like, no, I don't. Like, I don't fetishize it. I just, like, have said in the past that I don't mind it as much.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. So he's fully obsessed. He literally, like, sticks his head in a toilet after someone has taken a shit because he loves when things smell bad.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's tough because it's also, like, you know, the person that you're doing the story for, like, they're... Maybe they didn't think of it, but like there might be a reason they're not telling it.
Totally.
Which is like a tricky dance.
Right.
And sometimes you like give it a little like nudge. Like you're like, yeah, well, that's like, you know, what you had in school. And the person's like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wait, I actually hate
you're
that.
You're like, got it.
When someone does that, I'm like, okay, at this point, this is not about you. Like I was trying to be helpful to you, but at this point, you're making me look bad.
Yeah, but maybe it's like, you know, you did the bad. In the first place,
I have a really embarrassing example.
Not you, George.
Yeah.
Someone else.
I mean, an embarrassing example of this where I was in a professional setting on Zoom.
Sly.
Where there were like five people I don't know. And one person that was on there is like a close friend. And the friend commented on like something on my wall and was like, oh, is that new? Like, you got a painting. And I was like, oh, you've seen that before. Like, trying to like be like, we are friends. And she had been to my apartment multiple times, so it wasn't insane, but she was like, well, I've never been in your bedroom. And I was like, yeah, but can, like, all the five people are like looking at us right now being like, he's telling you. It looked like I was like so desperate for friends, like to be like, well, we're besties. And it's like, we actually are. And it was so deeply embarrassing to be like, well, you've seen that painting before. And she was like, no, I haven't.
When the border of private and public is blurred, in that, like, you are having half a private conversation with that person and half doing a performance, like two person performance for an audience. And you're like, oh my God, like, can I just pull the curtain?
Horrible.
And you're literally like, you have to, okay, I hate when you're dating someone and they're at your apartment and you have roommates. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys are living that lifestyle, really, but you're not.
It's been a while.
But try and get in the mindset, Charlie.
I know about
and
this.
Like you're in the kitchen or whatever and your roommate's like in the room next door, mm-hmm. and you have to be like, and you're having the conversation you were gonna have,
oh,
but like,
my God,
everyone is aware that there's like someone else there.
Yeah.
And if you're not talking to that person, it's better to just bring them in, because otherwise it's just like your thing is on display. Like,
well, wait, in both ways, like roommate to roommate, and there's this third party, like roommate to roommate, and there's
which
a partner.
I find
there.
That tolerable.
Right.
I think roommate to roommate, partner there, it's like, you know, the partner can just be there sometimes, you know.
Right.
There's a lot of leeway for a partner just like standing there.
You to partner and a roommate is present,
the
it becomes this thing
there.
Of like, then you do this performative, like,
it's a disaster because it's like, oh, this is our big private thing.
Yeah.
This is how we are behind closed doors, and someone else is there, and it's like, oh my God, it sends a shudder down my spine.
Oh my, and this fake, oh my God, but you're, like last time when we were chopping and you said you got it and you cut yourself, and it's like, oh, this awareness that a third party is like you're actually giving exposition a little bit because you're aware that the other person is there.
Oh, that's so you.
Like the last time we talked about this and you said, it's like, no.
Did your two siblings, Mary and John, call?
I mean, when I had roommates and was dating Misha, it was like, I feel like I would just be like fully a cold, heartless person when we were in the public space, because I was like, no, this is private. Like, don't speak to me until we're in my room. Like,
yeah.
Don't speak to me. He's just like, hey, and you're like, it's
the. They can't know anything about us.
Yeah.
It's so funny when you have roommates how your room randomly is this like ultra private space. Like, even if you're friends with your roommates, it's like you act like the door to that room is like a whole nother universe.
Yeah.
And like, you have to just pretend. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Can I say something about this whole negotiation of like who the audience is and who your conversation partner is? It's just another piece of proof that life is a cabaret. which is something that I have always, I'm not like making a joke. I'm like, the idea that life is a cabaret is,
I'm not making
the idea that life is a cabaret is one of the most profound.
Prove it.
It's one of the most profound statements ever uttered. Like, it literally is a cabaret because at any given point there are performers and there's an audience and it keeps switching in a way that feels very cabaret-esque.
Yeah. Mm. You know, it happens all the time in like big group conversations. This is the thing I noticed recently, like whenever it's like, oh, there's like six people talking. It's like, no, there's like 2.5 people talking and 3.5 people listening is what's happening.
Mm. If everyone's talking?
No, actually, it's like in a big group, it usually is just like two people talking, one person kind of jumping in and everybody else just listening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you just literally watch people's like eyes go back and forth, but like tennis. It's literally,
I don't understand the listeners and I'm afraid of them.
Okay, but here's the thing.
End of the day, I fear them desperately.
Right.
I am so with you, Natalie. I would never be a, you know, my natural instinct is not to be a listener. But the listeners of this podcast might be shocked to hear that, but it's true. But the thing is, sometimes, and this is one of the most unnatural and ungodly things that can happen, is if you're not a natural listener, sometimes you will find yourself in a conversation where you do have nothing to contribute and you just find yourself in the position of being a listener and then you feel so uncomfortable and you also try to overcompensate by making like weird sounds. Like people will be talking and you'll be like,
Well, but to me, I appreciate that. Like I'm like, that's not just being a listener. You know what I mean? Like, even if you have nothing to say, like, just doing stuff, I think, is good. Well, doing a little shoo-wop doo-wop is actually greatly appreciated.
Yeah, it's like people are talking back and forth, and you keep being like, okay.
Yes. Yes.
I think you might be a listener, to be honest. Like, I think
you are, Sam. Yeah.
I actually love when people are like going kind of ham on the conversation and I get to be like, you guys are like needy. Like I get to pull back and sort of be like, look inward.
Well, that's exactly why I'm afraid of listeners, is because that's what they're thinking.
Yeah. Well, but also, Sam, you have, I don't know how much you know this about yourself, but you have a very expressive face when you're listening.
Sure. Especially when I'm looking in this beautiful camera and I'm saying, oh, well, they're going to be seeing that.
Wait, this was us, like Natalie and I feel like are not listeners. And like in the first 12 minutes of the episode when we're not like allowed to talk and we're both responding to things and doing like the biggest fucking mugging of our lives. We're literally like, like you're like is it one or two, and we were both like, we're like holding up our fingers one and mouthing it so loud.
Oh, that's so funny.
Giving it our all. We wanted to be in so bad.
So true.
Yeah, well, it was really, you know, kind of you to not, I mean, you could.
I took notes, actually.
I think you guys, I actually saw you taking
notes. I actually was seeing that, and it was actually, I was like, I wanted you to address the notes that you took.
I know. Yeah. Any thoughts?
Address the notes.
Well, I had something to say about when at one point Sam was frozen, or yeah, like, and George, you were like, Sam, you're frozen. And it's like so funny to say you're frozen to someone because it's like, no, I'm not. Like, someone's like, oh, Charlie, you're frozen. I'm like, I'm literally not frozen. Like, I'm not frozen. Don't say that. It's like, it's the same thing.
So when people on the phone are like, you're breaking up. And I'm like, you are.
No, I'm not. I'm not. You're breaking up. You're breaking up right now. It's
you're
not
breaking
me.
Up.
I actually hear myself perfectly. Right. You actually, to me, are the one. It literally is an attack.
Right.
That was my main one. The other stuff is actually logistical stuff.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Oh, I think the fiscal year starts in July.
Fiscal year.
It's July.
Is that true?
How do you even know that?
Yeah, because I used to work for a year in fundraising for a nonprofit.
Well,
fiscal year for them started
in
July.
I think that might be because
it's nonprofit vibes. They're like, we start in July.
Yeah.
Like, that is so
why
nonprofit.
Would they do that?
What?
Why would they start in July? I can't get in that headspace.
Because they're just like allergic to making money and making sense. Right. And that's why that's why no social problems will ever be solved by nonprofits. No offense, of course.
Yeah. All love. Keep trying.
Keep trying for sure.
I love that.
Give it a shot.
Keep trying, but I will be giving my money to the federal government.
Same.
The army. Yeah. And I just did.
And specifically the army. I'm going to I'm going to write a little note when I send my money that says to army.
Yeah. Hey, if at all possible, please send as much of this money to foreign bases.
Make this a helicopter that shoots from all sides. Thank you.
Oh, God. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? I gotta tell you, where I am, it is a rainy evening in New York. I am staring at multiple unanswered emails and I am feeling drained. It can be easy for people to ignore their social batteries and spread themselves thin, especially when social gatherings are picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. And on a personal note, you know, I love therapy. It gives me an opportunity to talk more about myself, which is my favorite thing. And honestly, sometimes I even like doing it not into a microphone. It helps me learn positive coping skills and be the best version of myself. And sometimes, honestly, it's just nice to have a sounding board once a week to chat about all the things that are making me say, oh, brother. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/stradio today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/straightio.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I think we have to do our first segment.
We literally do.
Oh yeah.
And I'm saying right. that apologetically, but also in an empowering way, because I think that we are ready.
I don't think you have a thing to be sorry about.
Yeah.
As you both know, our first segment is called Straight Shooters, and in this segment, we ask you a series of rapid-fire questions to gauge your familiarity with and complicity in straight culture, and you have to say one thing or another thing, and the one rule is you can't ask any follow-up questions. Do you copy?
Yeah, but can we say stuff?
I am sorry,
That's
Natalie.
A question.
That's
you guys. I don't like this shit where you don't tell me stuff I want to know.
I, you know, the fact that you think that tension is not part of it, that it's unintentional rather than the entire point of the segment.
Oh, we started already. Okay, all right, go ahead. I'm very much a yeah. Okay, go ahead.
I have a
okay.
question.
Yeah, you have.
How
to
are we gonna
that.
Do it logistically?
Well, okay. You guys have to figure that out. I can't answer that.
Yeah, okay, we okay. can. And yeah. and by the way, you're all already starting at a. You guys have like approximately negative 300 points at this point.
Okay.
Yeah. With all the questions.
For every point we lose, you take money away from a family, right?
Yes.
That's a question. No questions.
Okay. Charlie.
Yeah.
We'll just figure it out.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. All right. We'll start simple. Being a pioneering woman in STEM or being an arrogant and toxic man in the humanities?
Oh my God.
Pioneering woman in STEM.
Being a pioneering woman in STEM, yeah. Okay. Because honestly,
wow.
I was feeling like that sounds really hard, but then I'm realizing, right. like, you know what? If I am one, then I am one.
Yeah.
So exactly. I don't have to worry about being one.
Yeah.
That's the game.
It is a tough choice because you're like, you know, of course, a pioneering woman in STEM. Then you're like, what if then she ends up founding a company that has bad labor practices? But then an arrogant and toxic man in the humanities could actually be a huge issue.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
Well, he's actually going to be annoying, which is worse.
Annoying. Yeah.
And that's more immediate.
Yeah, what's worse, exploiting your employees or being annoying? I would say the latter.
Annoying. The moment you said that thing about the toxic man in the humanities, I pictured, like, you know, when a guy, like, sits down and puts his crosses his leg like this, and he has like his sock showing a little bit under his pants.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's wearing like a fun sock, maybe,
and like raises his hand in class, and I want to shoot him.
I know, and you know what? It stems from actually it legitimately stems from outdated gender stereotypes, because you want the man to be strong and not weak, and his exposed sock and like disgusting hairy leg is you're like, why aren't you in the army? Why are you studying philosophy? Sorry.
Yeah, I guess a part of it is like, why are you like, and maybe it's a thing of like, you're so fucking proud that you're bookish.
Yes,
aren't you?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Clap for the bookish guy. Like, what do you want? A blowjob?
Yeah. And he's like, yeah.
Actually, yeah, right. That sounds kind of great. I also think that particular leg crossing, which it's funny that we have 8 of these and we're stuck on the first one, but that particular style of leg crossing, it is a sort of a no homo leg crossing, because there is a way to cross your leg in a feminine way that is like... Yeah. Yeah, and it's like actually more normal.
To me, it's the gender tension of being like, okay, you're doing this feminized thing, which is like being smart,
right?
And so you're pushing against that by like being like, but actually, look at my hairy leg,
and look at
my like wide open legs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's like, if you're gonna do it, just do it. Like, if you're gonna be like
be gay,
like a gay little guy doing like books, then that's fine. But be a gay little guy, and there's obviously
a
way
gay
to do
guy.
That, right?
Right.
And you can be straight and still be a gay little guy. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
We've talked
if
about
you're,
this a lot.
You know, reading.
Yeah,
yeah, if you're reading, congratulations,
and especially if you're writing.
Like, you just do.
Yeah. Right. I mean, writing. Come on.
And it's like appreciate
it's like, okay,
the Carrie culture
Bradshaw.
That you're in.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my God, writing. It's like. Okay, like literally, what is that, your diary?
Right.
Yeah, it's like, okay, there's like little guys in your head that you're thinking about. Like, okay. Right.
I'm going to show up to a reading by Carlo Nosgard and be like, okay, so you're giving Carrie Bradshaw?
Yeah, serving her. He's at his computer. He's like, and I just couldn't help it.
It's like, I couldn't help but wonder, is the human condition a sleigh? Okay,
that's
Sam.
Kind of what she was like.
Okay.
Take it away.
Okay, the next one. Tripping balls or standing tall?
Tripping balls.
To me, standing tall.
Mm.
Wow.
Attending the big premiere or defending the term queer?
Attending the big premiere.
Attending the big premiere.
I want to go.
Okay.
I'm getting activated.
Get me to the premiere.
I know.
Don't make me talk about words.
Yeah.
Okay. All's quiet on the Western Front, or let's get loud. Let's get loud.
We're gonna let's get loud.
Yeah,
you
let's
got
get
it.
Loud, yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
Being problematic or being emblematic of larger systemic issues.
Oh wow. I mean, I'd rather be emblematic.
Oh, I'm gonna choose problematic.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Disagreement.
It's a little feistier.
Love the sinner, hate the sin, or love the skin you're in with Olay.
Love the sinner, hate the sin. I really try and live by that.
Yeah, me too. Love the sinner, hate the sin.
You gotta love the sinner. You gotta love the
sinner. But you gotta hate that sin, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You hate the sin,
on
but...
On the one hand,
okay,
I love the sinner.
Who do you love?
Yeah.
Sinner, right?
The sinner. Yeah.
There's
an
amazing guy in there.
And love the skin you're in. It's like, don't tell me what to do.
Yeah, also, why the emphasis on skin? It seems a little arbitrary to me.
Olay.
Oh, because I guess they make skincare.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I guess I get that now. So...
It seems random.
Yeah.
Oh, right, that's their only thing.
Okay, this one you really have to pay attention. Getting...
Oh, my fly is open.
Oh.
Oh.
This can't be a video episode anymore.
Video's canceled.
It's been... Then the camera has been zoomed in on your fly this whole time, so it really has ruined the footage.
My pussy's like out. It's like out right here, pink, big pussy the whole time. I'm like, yeah, so basically all's quiet on the Western Front.
Okay.
Would you guys say something, or how would you?
If your pussy was out?
If my pussy was out, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like we'd mention it to you.
I think ultimately what would happen is...
Maybe Charlie would text
me. We would assume probably that you were making a joke.
Oh.
That it was intentional. And so we would sort of make a bit out of it. Right?
Right.
That's how much we trust you as an artist, and we trust your intent at all times.
I feel like every single thing you have ever done is with intent.
It's with intent. And I know that. And it is. Go ahead. Keep playing the game.
Getting off your high horse or getting on a low dose of Vyvanse.
Oh. This is smart, you guys, because they are kind of in opposition. And it's a thing I'm thinking about in both ways.
Yeah. I will get off my high horse.
Yeah.
Because I love that song, the Kacey Musgraves one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Vyvanse made me like so annoying and weird. Yeah. So
if I have to be real with myself, it's Vyvanse.
Yeah.
Mm. It's not what I want, but it is true. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For me. Be true.
Yeah.
Something that's true. Okay. A free and fair election or a friend of a friend connection?
Oh. I think free and fair election.
Yeah, me too.
Okay,
me too.
I don't know. I just think it's important.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's really nice.
I think it matters. I think it matters.
Yeah.
I think it matters, yeah. And sometimes there's a lot of pressure with the friend of the friend stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'd rather really just,
tough. Oh, how do you know Maricel?
Yeah.
Like, I don't
want
to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she really is tough. Like that sometimes.
Right. Oh, the worst actually is when you meet someone's friend who they like, maybe they're not even there. Like, say you move to a new city and it's like, oh, I'm going to set you up with my friend, like as a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you guys will get along so, so well. You're both so funny. And then you meet the person and you're like, oh, no. Yeah. You think I'm this?
Mm-hmm. Right. That's when you find out what they think of you.
Yeah.
Right.
That's tough. But that was the entire game. George,
yeah,
what
how do you think
they
did, Sam?
Oh, I was going to say 123 doves.
Out of 1,000?
Yeah. They showed utter disdain for the rules. They disrespected our time and our listeners' time. And
oh my God, we did
wow, that's so
bad.
Crazy. I've actually never heard Sam give someone that low of a score.
Are we the lowest ever?
That actually makes me feel really special.
I think that is literally the lowest score we've ever given. And I'm really shocked because I really want to yes and my comedy partner, but I really was not expecting that, to be honest. I was having a pretty good time while we were doing that. And I thought you guys were like playing with it and sort of being charming.
I mean, we were like mostly trying our hardest.
Yeah.
Just kind of
and I actually could, I could really see, I could really see both of you taking it seriously. And I sort of thought that when you disagreed, it was like fun and pointed to almost made your partnership stronger that you disagreed on.
And
some
we
of
tried
them.
Both things. Like sometimes we just said it and didn't explain.
Exactly.
Sometimes we said
exactly.
it and explained.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But you know
I guess
what?
I talked about my pussy a lot. Maybe that wasn't so right.
Minus 900 points.
Like so part of the game. That's like catching the snitch. It's like an automatic like fail.
You know what though? I can sort of like see. Okay. So to me, I'm like. Basically, the biggest strength and the biggest weakness of your performance was that you did so much. It was so diverse. You did every possible thing you could do. You agreed, you disagreed, you were serious, you were funny, you took it seriously, you took it as a joke, you were like
we went genital.
Silly, rather, and then you were intellectual. And so maybe I am sort of like, wow, you are, that all amounted to a sort of a sense of playfulness and camp that I responded to. But then for Sam, maybe Sam, you were like, commit to one thing.
Right.
Well, I wanted to know who you were. You know, I wanted through this game for you to tell us who you are as a performer, as an artist, as a person. And I felt like you were sort of, you know, saying like, look at all the different directions I could go in. And it was like, well, you're not getting personal with us.
Okay.
That's what that game is really about. Yeah.
Very confessional.
I really appreciate the note. And if we make it to the next round, to me, it's not so important. Like our score, like I know that we're just focused on like improving and getting better and learning. And so I want to promise that if you do advance us to the next round, we will take that really to heart and we're going to work hard. You know, this means so much to us. So I appreciate that.
You know, it's interesting because you say it means so much and yet you somehow think there's another round, despite the fact that you've been on the podcast now 3 times.
Well, George and I will.
Fourth, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you guys don't mind going.
Is it your 4th time on, Charlie?
Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
if
including
you include
the live
show. One.
Yeah.
Which, barely. Right.
And also if you include the episodes.
Oh, my God. You guys basically hate me.
If you include the episodes where we just talk about Charlie the entire episode, then it's probably his 8th.
Those are my favorite episodes.
Yeah.
Would be a whole game. I mean, I love it.
Wow.
Yeah. So I trust that I'll have another shot.
Right. Oh, I yeah. see. So in fact, I was wrong. You were right next that like time. There will be a next round in the sense that next time you're on,
yeah.
which statistically will be in approximately 5 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. I won't be having to sit by my email okay. for too long.
Whereas Natalie, this is sort of your one chance.
I know. And I kind of remember blowing it last time too. Can we do something that I would do really well on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rapid fire. You guys ask me. You say the name of a grade, yeah. and I tell you what age a kid is in that grade.
Whoa.
Okay. Okay, this is great.
Okay, 7th.
13.
Okay. 10th.
I don't know.
Okay, 2nd. 2nd.
7.
If you're going to be honest, you got the second one wrong.
I cannot believe you got 7th grade right and then couldn't add 3 to get 10. After your big chance to redeem yourself after Sam gave you a literal F minus on your previous performance.
No high school.
No high school. Are you serious? You guys are going to throw her high school? That's fucked up of you guys.
No high school.
Obviously no high school. What the fuck are you guys thinking?
Come on.
No, that's true. I'm sorry about that.
All right. Well,
that's like my special. That's my special skill.
Clearly.
Yeah, you're really good at it.
So I mean, like, I can juggle, and you hand them 3 knives, and they like murder 4 people in the space. Like, oh my god, wait. I'm reading a really bad book. Sorry.
While we record,
I actually do need. Yeah.
Is that
yeah,
why
Natalie, are you reading right now?
Is that why the 10th grade really tripped you up? Because you were on a really exciting chapter?
No, there's murder in it, so it just made me think of it. And then I was thinking, like, you guys are all quite bookish. Actually, Sam, are you?
Wow, drag him to hell.
Drag me. You know, this is what's tough about being in a partnership, is that people inherently will make you opposites. Like,
yeah, well, Charlie's about to walk.
Charlie has left the room.
I'm going. Okay,
Sam, talk about this because it's so important.
As soon as you're in a partnership, people are like, okay, well, if one person's thing is this, then that must mean the other person's thing is the opposite of that. And are like, yes, of course we have different personalities and different, but it's a spectrum, you know? Like, yes, George, I would argue, is more intellectual than I, but I'm still intellectual and I still read books.
And by the way, people talk to me as though I'm a literal virgin because the joke is that, like, Sam is, like, more promiscuous than I. It's like, I have had sex.
Yeah, but you sound like a virgin.
Multiple times.
You know what we were saying with Celeste last night that was making us laugh? Is like, it's like virginity should reset more. And basically, like, unless you're currently having sex, you are a virgin.
I actually agree with that.
I don't remember that.
Completely.
Really? I agree with that.
Maybe you'd left Natalie by that point.
Maybe even. Sorry, maybe I was even. I would say maybe even not. You know, a sort of compromise would be just like it resets every year.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I actually sort of think sexuality.
But to what end?
Well, I think the government should get involved.
Yeah.
And I think I think you should have a different stamp on your license plate and your driver's license too.
Yeah. And you should be legally required to put it in the census. You know, when was the last time
I put it in my taxes. You get more of a deduction.
Yeah.
I just did that.
Yeah.
You get the sex deduction. It's not much.
It's not much. A couple thousand.
Make or break. Yeah, it's like a few.
Couple coffees.
Look, that makes a difference. Yeah.
In this town,
every little bit helps.
Oh my god, that would be so funny if you know, it's getting closer to tax day, so people are like, okay, I literally have to have sex 35 times in the next 2 days if I'm gonna fucking make this cutoff so that I can be in the tax. And so I could be in the sex tax bracket I want to be in.
Right. That is funny.
That's a good like YA dystopian novel, George.
Yeah, it's very sci-fi, but pretty light.
I think it's inappropriate. I think it's inappropriate for children, actually, Natalie. And I think
teenagers are having sex.
I wasn't.
No teenagers.
There's that virgin
sex.
Talking. Isn't he?
Yeah, show us that driver's license, sweetie.
just look at that.
I know how much you're paying in taxes. Anyway, Sam, I didn't mean to say that. I know, I'm sure you read books. I don't read books, so I wasn't like judging you from a different place.
Natalie, you literally have been reading The Da Vinci Code for 2 years.
Yeah, Natalie's always like, I don't read books, and then is constantly reading a book. And you have tons of books in your room.
Well, I have tons of books in my room, for sure. But that's because I did a subscription.
A book subscription?
A book subscription?
Yeah, it was a disaster. I honestly can't even talk about it. But the other thing is,
you know what our version of that is?
Never mind. Yeah, please.
No, say it.
What?
I want to know.
Can I do our? So our thing of Lego One's bookish is Natalie's Jewish and I'm half Jewish. And that's like our big kind of distinction between the two of us.
That
so
must be really difficult Christian? For you because, yeah, I imagine for you, Charlie, it's like you then have to take on the role of the non-Jewish one. And you're like, no, I am Jewish.
Yeah, people like...
yeah, but I don't know. Oh, do no, people I actually think don't you're not Jewish?
Remember that one time where I did that Jewish show and the guy was like, I'm a listener to the podcast. I'm surprised to see you here because I thought you weren't Jewish. And I was like, that's just because next to Natalie. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you seem like
And I was like, I still get to be.
Remember one time you were like, do I seem Jewish? And I was like, well, you start talking.
Yeah, what I love that.
Yeah. But you did love it, right?
Yeah, totally.
Because the stuff Charlie said and the stuff he likes to talk about and is Jewish.
Right, yeah.
But you kind of look like a...
Not Jewish.
You don't look Jewish to me.
Yeah.
No.
All right. You can't win them all.
Yeah. Also, guys, what's happening is I'm listening to audiobooks, okay?
Oh, right. I see.
That's valid.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to come out and say...
It's not lesser.
I've only ever listened to one audiobook in my entire life.
Can I guess what it was?
You're not going to get it, but sure.
Michelle Obama's memoir.
Okay, Harry Potter.
No, but it was nonfiction and memoiristic.
I have no idea.
Tina Brown, Vanity Fair Diaries.
Yes.
Got it.
Yep, that's what it was.
Wow.
Are you serious? That really is?
I just
yep, that's really yeah.
Why don't you guys go away?
I cannot believe.
Yeah.
No,
how
JK.
About you go be partners?
Because it's so good. It's like famously a memoir. It's people were talking about it. I got it. No worries.
It was a sort of classic, like people were talking about it and I never really read, to be honest, I don't read a lot of book length nonfiction. And I also never really read memoir.
I mean,
stuff.
I'll admit that.
And I was like, well, what a great excuse. It's basically like, what, Natalie?
We're whispering at a party later. Did you hear George? George told me that he doesn't read a lot of book-length nonfiction.
Book-length nonfiction.
Especially in the memoir space.
Shh, he's coming.
Shut up. Shut
Hi, George.
So, read any good book-length nonfiction memoir space?
Sam!
Sam, what's the one thing that we tend not to talk about?
Short stories.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Okay, we actually have to get into the topic because, Natalie, not to call you out toxically, that you do have a heart out in approximately 25 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Shit.
That's crazy. Right.
Sorry, guys. I have to go nanny.
Well, no, that when we heard that you had a hard out, I was like, well, we'll never go that long. We'll never even possibly hit that time. And then, of course, once we started, it's like, oh, that's really easy to get to.
How slay that it was like, my people told your people that I had a hard out.
That's
like,
slay.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
slay.
No, that's actually movie star lifestyle.
Yeah, that's very Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You the word hard out.
Yeah, the word hard out.
I know.
When I hear the word hard out, I'm like, oh, rich. You're rich.
I'm hard out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're pussy's out.
I'm pussy out.
Sorry, guys. I have a pussy out at three.
I have a pussy out at three. Okay. So I would love it if both of you introduced your chosen topic, your topic of choice, and then told us a little bit about what is straight about it and why you chose it tonight.
Okay.
Okay. Tonight.
This evening. Okay. Do we want to say it at the same time?
Yes.
Okay. We have to get the wording right.
Okay.
Should I text you?
Okay. They're mouthing it to each other. Okay.
That's right. Okay. Okay. Ready?
So our topic of what is straight is
some.
Though not all bars.
Wow. Wow.
So once again, some though not all bars.
Some though not all
some,
bars.
Though not all.
We love our topic.
Yeah.
Like we love it. Charlie came up with it and I laughed for like 4 days.
Yeah. It felt so good, you guys. It was amazing.
Because basically to me, it's like you like the way that you guys live.
Gay guys?
By you guys, you mean gay guys, right?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure. But yeah, it's seeming like that. Like, you love to go to bars, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And I'm counting myself in this too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, gay people are always going to bars.
Well, you're sort of a gay guy in that you're a gay girl.
Yeah. Right.
So you're sort of halfway there.
Yeah.
I know. But
that's
my
another
love
of our like
guys
polar things, like you guys.
Just
have.
That you're a different gender. Yeah.
Right.
Gay guy versus gay girl.
Guy, it's like,
yeah,
gay
for
girl.
Sure.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, totally. And it is. And it comes up all the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Literally.
Anyways, what am I saying? Basically, like, gay bars are such like, a big thing for gay people.
Yeah.
They're always going there. And even if the bar is not like gay explicitly, it's like queerish or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so much so that you could actually forget that there are hundreds of thousands of bars in the globe that are only for straight people, basically. And configured in such a way that you would not even have fun there.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even have fun.
Yeah.
You guys.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm testing my limits with that.
I want you to paint a picture, sort of. What is the bar you're thinking of? Like, I'm definitely seeing a pool table. I'm definitely seeing sports playing on the multiple TVs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Well, it's tricky because there is like a dykiness to a pool table. So right. that I actually wouldn't even put.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
You know,
no pool table.
I would say the girls, there's girls there
yeah.
and there's guys there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right. And they're together mm-hmm. in groups, like seven guys, seven girls, and they're not exactly intermingled. You know, there's like more guys on one side, more girls on one side, but they're still there together. The girls are wearing blue jeans and a black top.
Okay. Oh, mm-hmm. of course.
And the, mm-hmm. of course. And the guys, I'm not sure what the guys are wearing.
Do you think we're talking like khakis, button-down, Red Sox cap?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually do.
Yeah, that feels right to me.
I think it's like we're talking like happy hour in Midtown, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And hockey on the TV.
Yeah, we're going to have like a sport. I think it's also there's going to be like flirting maybe between men and women. Which is something that you really wouldn't see
at a gay bar.
At a gay bar, it's a little bit more unlikely. And to me, like, that's actually, like, when I've seen that, that's,
maybe a queer space you would.
Right, maybe a queer space, but, you know, it's less prevalent. And that's one way I know that I'm at, you know, one of these straight bars is that I'm like, huh, what is going on here? Like, why is that guy talking to that girl like that? Why is his hand kind of like on the back of her chair?
Right.
Why is she like turning towards him?
Why is it sliding down?
Right. Like what's exactly going on here? And what often is happening in these kinds of spaces is there actually is like kind of a romantic or even sexual flirting between the genders.
Those two.
Yeah. Right.
I think that's a good point.
I would argue that something that brings up, I feel like even within the genders, there's like aggression towards each other. Like, yeah. I think the scariest parts of those bars is feeling like men are mad at me. Like, I'm like, you, like, think I'm either, like, gay, which, bad, gay pejorative, mm-hmm. or yeah. you think I'm, like, coming for the girls.
Right.
And
right.
The no, girls it's, are yours. It's scarcity mindset in those places. Yeah.
Do you know yeah. what's even scarier? Get this. When you feel like the girls are mad at you. Because sometimes at a straight Whoa. Bar... you expect the girls to be desperate for a gay BFF, and then you get there and you realize, no, no, they're on the prowl, no. and yeah. and you are
they
like, you are truly like yeah. a little obstacle in a video game that they have to get past.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Move out of my way.
Yeah. Move out of my way. Yeah. Get out of my way, right. Kylie Minogue.
Get out of my way.
Yeah.
Sometimes in those spaces, I'm like, why isn't anyone like looking at me?
yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
This sucks.
Yeah.
Like right. sexually, do you right. know what I mean? Like, why am I being like looked up and down?
Mm-hmm. Why yeah. Are you being looked up and down, or are you not?
No, why not?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why
but
not?
You're not being looked up and down?
Right.
No.
It's
not. Really.
You basically couldn't feel more random.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
when I'm in those spaces, I'm like, I literally am not even here. Like, you go to get right. a drink, and the bartender is like, "Are you sure? Like, is that
no?
Really
you, don't
what
register,
you, want here?
You don't register. You don't register." As human, you're not recognized by the state as really
no,
an attendee of the
a
bar.
Drinking individual.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
I feel like there's something that's like you don't realize how much of having fun at a bar, even if you're only talking to your friends, mm-hmm. is the like idea of potential
yeah.
sexual energy in
an
the air.
Ambient
you know?
Sexual.
Even if yeah. you never act on it, you yeah. just go there for that.
Yeah.
And so when you go into a straight bar, like there's a real deadness of like, I know exactly what's going to happen here.
Right.
I'm going to be with these people and then I'm going to leave. Like there's no secret surprise coming up.
Can I say something that's nice about it actually?
Mm-hmm.
Like there mm-hmm. is this invisibility, right? And that actually can be sometimes the most private place in the world to have a conversation with like another
totally.
Gay guy.
Right.
Totally. Like I've actually
completely
like
completely anonymous.
When I've had like moments yeah. where I'm like I really need to be like in the most private possible of spaces right now. We're going to find like a sports bar and we're just going to be two gay guys in the corner that people, it's almost like people are kind of like, I can't even see that.
Yeah.
And you
no,
don't get
you're
service.
You're basically in witness protection.
Right. You're yeah. basically
well,
in witness protection.
Can I tell you something? I one time mm-hmm. was at a very, very straight bar
mm-hmm.
with a gay man
mm-hmm.
and we hooked up in the bathroom and then came out and there was a line around the bathroom because we had not realized that it was a single stall. We thought there were also urinals, and so we just sort of
got out
and then just had to like do a little head nod, like a straight head nod at all the straight men that were lined up, and then right. I will end the story with this. You better believe I then realized I forgot my glasses in the stall and had to go back and get them.
Oh no.
Did you have to wait on the whole line again?
Yeah.
Does that sound like virgin behavior to you? Does that sound like
no.
virgin behavior
no.
to you?
I'm feeling schooled as fuck.
But I'll say this, like the fact that it happened in a straight space, infinitely hotter than if it was at a gay bar.
Right.
Totally.
For sure.
Well, it is the thing of if you're hooking up with another gay guy at a gay bar, it's like, right, on schedule. You
yeah.
know what I mean? You're
yeah,
like,
it's like, okay, straight A student,
to?
You're doing what you're supposed to do. Fine. You,
yeah,
you
exactly.
passed the AP
right.
course.
Right. You know what's transgressive
totally.
In a gay bar is to be like lonely as fuck.
Yes.
to be like yes. sad and like kind of feeling weird. Yeah.
And that can be one of the horniest
totally.
Possible things. You're just like rock hard
yeah.
and lonely.
Rock hard and lonely at a gay bar,
yeah.
literally alone. And other,
right. That's what
a beautiful
that Robin
little
song is about.
Lyric. Yeah, yeah, Rock Hard and Lonely.
Rock Hard and Lonely at a Gay Bar is the title of Lana Del Rey's new album.
It's so beautiful.
When you were rock hard, I was lonely in the gay bar. Want to do it.
I also think both spaces, there's drinking.
Mm-hmm.
We can agree on
right.
this. No matter culturally where you stand, there's drinking.
Right.
And often heavy drinking.
Yeah.
I think in both spaces,
sure.
it's sort of indulgent and people are being a bit bad. But for some reason, when I'm in the gay bar and people are being bad and sort of if they do shots, I'm like, how celebratory, like doing shots in the face of so much like like you were just a boy
choosing
coming out
joy.
Of the closet to your parents and
yeah.
now you're doing a shot at a bar in New York City. And then when it's like a guy doing a shot at a straight bar, I'm like, are you need to yeah. find help. Like you need to turn your life around. You
couldn't agree with you more.
You need a family and you need to like show some responsibility.
Yeah. And honestly, you need to quit drinking. Like, I don't know if straight guys should be drinking. Like, do we literally need them to get like super loose and comfortable?
You are so right. I actually do think straight guys need to stop drinking across the board.
Like, right, what's literally the best case scenario of a straight guy is drinking? He falls asleep?
I think, yeah. Or he like becomes, he opens a brewery.
Yeah.
That's best case.
Yeah, best case.
But that guy's sober.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
The best case for me is that the guy gets drunk and then is like, oh, wait, I actually do want to touch this man's back.
Yeah, I'm gay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 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 yeah. I guess the best case scenario is literally that guy hooks up with Sam.
Yeah. If you ban all straight guys drinking, then, right, you know, you might never have to get,
you miss out on some of that like kind of back touching.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
Some of them like to touch your back.
Might be worth it. Yeah.
This is why policy is so tricky.
Yes. 100%. Yes. You're so right, Charlie. And I actually have another point, which is another thing that is the best case scenario is the following. They buy everyone around.
Whoa.
Right. Oh, I love when they do that.
Because that's a classic drunk straight guy thing to do. Yeah. And it's sort of like a healthy way to assert one's masculinity is to be like, mm-hmm, I'm daddy, and then buy everyone, mm-hmm, around.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
I'm playing with the idea of exploring that as a mode.
Buying, like, buying everyone around.
Taking that culture from, yeah, the straight bar. Like, I've seen it, I know it. And then like, what would it be like to sort of express masculinity like that? I'm curious about that.
Mm.
So just look out for that.
I feel like it's very gay to like
expressing masculinity through not gifts, but through what's the word I'm looking for?
Buying everyone around.
Yeah, but like not
financial
generosity. Yeah.
Magnanimity.
Yeah.
Providing through
magnanimity, maybe, is what I'm looking for, Charlie.
Mm.
Yeah. That's what, yeah, I said.
Why Charlie?
Oh, isn't that what Charlie said?
Yes, yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. No, exactly. And it's, okay, also like, it is like, quite literally a redistribution.
Jealousy jumped out.
It's also like,
yeah, I was like, oh, so Charlie's smarter than everyone. Okay, so Charlie's smarter than Natalie and Charlie's smarter than me.
We
so
were
Charlie
actually has sent here to break you.
Okay, it's also
like, I start with like, you don't read books, and then like, George ignores you for Charlie, and then
the virgin stuff.
Asserting masculinity through the redistribution of wealth.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah,
there you go.
Could be amazing. Perfect. So I'm not saying with like some, but not some, though not all bars. It's like, it's not like we have, mm-hmm, nothing to learn. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's pieces of the, because you know what else actually can be a thing, maybe is more of a thing in a straight coded bar, is like an activity. Maybe that's not, mm-hmm, always true.
Darts.
Like,
yeah,
a dart. Like, I am seeing a dart in that kind of space.
Though again, I do think that like lesbian bars kind of have that.
Right.
But type of thing.
I even think more seating. I actually think straight bars actually are kind of seating oriented, mm-hmm, a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're right.
Gay bars could actually learn, ugh, to have some more seating.
Right.
That.
And because then also, especially if you can like pull the chairs away when it's like 10 p.m. and it's time to dance.
Right.
Or
yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. If you have a closet for your chairs, you're a king, basically. Because you get, mm-hmm, two spaces for one.
You're literally royalty.
Right, exactly.
Well, yeah. What about the thing from straight bars where you like send drinks to another table?
Whoa. What about the thing from straight bars where you send drinks to another table? It's an iconic question.
I don't know. That happened to me once at a straight bar to my friend, not to me. It was actually my birthday.
Okay, I want to say similar to Charlie, that's actually something I want to reappropriate at gay bars.
Yeah,
and
I like that.
And sometimes, yes, I want to do it, you know, romantically if I feel so inclined, but sometimes I want to do it like as a gag to like a hot girly that is like clearly having the time of her life. And I want to be like, you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
I love that. Okay, so it's up to us.
Yeah.
Maybe straight customs at bars are better than gay ones. I'm sort of now realizing.
I know.
And
no.
The issue is just the people that are enacting them.
Hmm.
No, well, there's some. Hmm. There are some community building things, yes, that they have that we could learn from, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they've had more time in the sun,
mm-hmm,
to develop. You know what gay bars do sometimes that straight bars could do is play gay porn on the TVs.
Yeah.
I think that would be a fun twist.
That's a really good point.
I actually do think I would love if straight bars were more explicit sometimes with the sexual energy.
Right.
Like, I actually think one of the cool things that gay bars can have is like fully like an underwear party.
Right.
Or like, you know.
Right.
And I actually think if a straight bar was like, this night we're gonna be playing straight porn on the TVs.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's actually scary. It has to be gay porn.
It has
you're
to be gay
straight
porn.
No,
you can't,
in a bar.
You can't do that.
That's literally so scary, Sam.
No, that's awful.
It has to be gay porn.
No, that's okay.
Really? Okay. I'm open.
What if it's like really softcore? Like, what if it's like people making out?
Yeah. That is right. Oh my God. Yeah. To me, yeah.
That would be really fun.
I still prefer just gay porn, just to be clear.
They should play straight porn at the gay bar. I don't think you can play straight porn if there are guys there who are straight, honestly. Like,
yeah, they'll start jerking off.
They get so weird about it. Yeah. And why mess with perfection? Gay porn, it is great in a bar context. Doesn't matter if the bar is gay or straight.
Yeah.
Right.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Okay, another thing I'm sort of realizing as we are listing these different things that happen at gay bars versus straight bars is the main difference is that straight bars have always been quote unquote safe space. Like they are meant to be enjoyed, whereas gay bars are inherently secretive, stealth, underground, you know, right. And because of that then become more sites of like erotic charge because people feel like they're like living a secret life. And that even in cities like New York or even Los Angeles, where in fact it is often safe to be a gay person, still that legacy remains. And you go into a bar and you're like, well, who knows if we'll live to see the end of this night.
Right.
Let's celebrate.
And the erotic charge of that.
Let's celebrate.
Right. Yeah. And so we have to celebrate by putting gay porn on the televisions.
I want to go to a bar.
Yeah, we should go to a bar.
This has been so fun.
I want to go to a bar. Yeah. I'd love to go to a bar,
watch
dance.
Gay porn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish it were like Thursday. That would be so fun.
Wish it was like the end of the day and there was like a big party and it was like, oh, are you guys going to that thing later?
Oh, that would be so
Could you imagine
nice.
If we were all like, or like you guys are going and it was like, yeah. Should we host something tonight?
That has not happened in a while.
I was gonna
that
say,
has not happened in a while.
Should we like have a, yeah, like something? Yeah.
We should have something.
Host a party.
A DJ night.
Host a party.
To benefit a charity.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
And we should play gay porn in it.
Gay porn party, yeah. And you know what we should do? We should also borrow the thing from straight bars of having like board games available. So it's going to be a party that has gay porn on the TVs, but it's a board
games.
But gay but porn board game party. Yeah. So you're playing
gay porn game.
Gay porn game party.
Gay porn game.
So it's like you can play like Ticket to Ride. There's Catan. You know. There's going to be Scrabble.
Charlie, what is the end game of this? This is a party where you can play Catan. There's gay porn playing, and it's for charity. Yeah. Like it does seem like a hodgepodge of things.
No, it doesn't.
I don't know if it should be for charity.
Oh, don't think it should be for charity.
Charlie,
no, it's pure profit.
I have to say, it's profit. Yeah. It's for profit.
We could donate it, but maybe to like a company. Donate the funds.
Yeah, like
Amazon.
We should donate it to Amazon.
Yeah.
Maybe we could donate that to the military with our taxes.
Of course. Exactly.
Because we don't want to have like a savior complex.
Yeah, someone learns about having a savior complex and they're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'll just give it to Amazon.
Yeah.
They were raising money for a charity and they were like, oh my God, I completely did not recognize that I was doing being savior complex. I'll just give it to Amazon.
Wait, should we do our final segment?
I guess.
I mean, it's like literally close to like.
Do you guys have any final words?
Like Natalie has to like go.
Yeah, as fuck. Okay. I forgot there was another segment.
Okay. Any final thoughts?
Natalie has to like leave.
Okay, fine. I guess we won't do final thoughts.
Ugh, you guys should come to nannying with me. George, will you come today?
Well, I'm here. You're coming to my neighborhood?
If we go to the playground, I'm going to text you. Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Always.
Well, you know, cool. After this, Sam and I have to record a Patreon episode about Top Gun Machine Gun Kelly or whatever it's called.
Okay.
Top Gun.
Our final thoughts are that there are some crucial differences in types of bar. And you might think, if you're kind of like a gay person, you might think that every bar is a gay bar. And we're here to tell you that actually it's not really like that. And there are There are many bars that actually do have a pretty straight vibe, despite what your personal
experience
might say. But
it's good. It's good, and it keeps them busy.
Keeps them busy.
Yeah.
Got to do something.
Keeps them engaged. You got to do something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Our final segment.
Well, our final segment is called Shoutouts, and in this segment, we pay homage to the classic street tradition of the radio shoutout, but about anything that we are currently enjoying. So, you know, imagine it's 2001, you're at TRL in Times Square shouting out to your squad back home about anything that you enjoy. I actually have one, and I can go first.
Please do that.
It's actually extremely basic, and I don't care. So what is up, everyone around the globe? Woo! I want to give a huge shout out to that little precipitation called snow. That's right, baby. It snowed in NY City. The miracle came on February 27th, I want to say. And just in the nick of time, it felt so nice to watch snow fall. Are you kidding me? Suddenly winter had a reason for existing. This whole time I've been like, what's the point of the season? Just to be like gray and dead and look at ugly ass trees and feel nothing but a relative coldness and just wait for spring and summer? No. When it snows, there's a reason. There's a reason you own boots, honey. When it snows, there's a reason for your coat and your hat and your gloves. I was so happy to feel some winter charm and to see that the community of NY City was coming together to take their little snow pictures. We are one city and we stand in the snow. XOXO, Sam.
Woo! We are one city and we stand in the snow.
We are one city.
That's amazing, Sam.
Okay. What's up, fashion girls, glamour girls, girls who walk the runways in fashion weeks all over this great nation, world, and globe, and universe, and galaxy. I want to give a shout out to very tepidly bringing back the lockdown era practice of Zoom drinks, but only, listen to me, only with people who live in different cities. We threw the baby out with the bathwater when we stopped doing it because of course it's triggering, of course it brings back bad memories, of course now we associate Zoom with a business meeting. But guess what? Last night I had a Zoom happy hour with my friends Adam and Carl who live in DC, and we had a 2-hour conversation. It was so much fun. We were drinking all night and we were just sitting on our couch having a drink. And guess what? Yes, I would love to see them in a real bar, maybe a straight bar or even a gay bar, but I can't because they live where? DC. So what am I gonna do? Not talk to them? Not maintain my friendships? Not invest in my community, even though it doesn't live in the same city as I do? No, I am actually going to bite the bullet and I'm gonna get over my fear of Zoom and have Zoom drinks with my friends who live in DC. And you can too. Woo!
I love that, actually. That's really awesome. Powerful.
Awesome. It was like, even though I was so excited to see them, there was a part of me that was like, oh no, this is going to be like, you're going to have that lockdown feeling. You know what I mean? But you did, you did it in the beginning. You're like, oh God, this is a Zoom. And then you sort of are like, oh wait, I'm talking to my best friend.
Yeah.
Natalie is gone.
Okay.
Natalie disappeared.
No. Oh, she's still there. Oh.
We just can't see your video, but do you want to do your shout out in case you have to go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to shout out my little lunch I just made. You guys, it was too good to believe. Little quinoa, chili crisp. You can't hear me?
Natalie, you are going in and out.
Why?
You know,
Charlie,
you know,
tell them what I made you. That's my shout out.
Okay, so Natalie's shout out is to the lunch that she made for both of us, which was quinoa with like pickled cabbage and... Ooh. What was the other vegetable? It was like purple cabbage.
Carrots.
Yeah. And it was really tight. It was really yummy. And so quick, she threw it together. So effortless.
I wow. love that.
Wow.
I love that, Natalie.
Well,
thank you.
Natalie, it was really funny to hear only parts of your shout out and just hear like the word quinoa.
Heard, Natalie, and this is not actually going to come across in the recording, but what we heard was sort of like, my shout out. Quinoa.
Quinoa is back, you guys.
Yeah. Well, I love that.
It was for, yeah. Okay.
Okay, Charlie, do you want to do yours really quick?
You have 2 minutes.
Yeah. My shout out is to acclaimed Pulitzer Prize winning author Toni Morrison. Because
heard of her?
Oh, wow.
Shout out.
Amazing.
Shout out to her because I'm reading.
Underrated.
Underrated. She's so freaking good, you guys. I'm reading her book Jazz, and it's about a love triangle in a place she likes to call New York City, and I like to call it that too. It is so astute and amazing, and every single page is just crackling, and it's so amazing to read a book that's about the place that you're reading it. Mm-hmm. Because I'm she's describing buildings, boom, I'm looking up, they're right there, and she is dead on. So shout out to Toni Morrison.
Shout out you to guys. Toni Morrison.
Because if you haven't read Toni Morrison, and specifically her book Jazz, you're missing out.
Woo! Jazz is a real deep cut.
Love it.
Yeah, well, you know, that's why I thought it deserved, you know, some extra attention.
No, truly. It's very much her Joanne.
You guys.
Whoa.
Scary moment.
Love that.
Yeah. Whoa.
Well, folks. Whoa.
Thanks so much for doing the pod.
This has been so fun, guys.
Incredible. Listen to Exploration Live.
Thanks.
Where all podcasts are sold.
Thanks, you guys. Love ya.
Love ya.
Bye.
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 This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.